Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals markets. I'm Tori, along with Rob and Miles, and together we have almost 80 years of experience, I'd say now, brokering and advising on the precious metals. Each week, we're going to give you a recap of what has transpired, as well as a look ahead at what we see coming down the road. And the end of 2025 is a fun show to do, you guys, and we'll certainly have that recap and more today. So without further ado, as always, Miles, let's start with just the recap of the week.
Yeah, I get the baby recap. You can do the big boy recap because, man, it was a big boy year last year. But I can tell you the baby week we've had since January, not January 1st, January 2nd, because the markets were closed on the 1st, hasn't been anything to scoff at either. So we'll kick it off with gold. Gold up 4% at the moment from January 2nd until today, Wednesday, January 7th, that we're recording. Up 4%, sitting just under $4,500. It's at $4,498 at the moment I'm speaking, and that puts us about $50 below the previous all-time high. So we'll see if gold is just going to continue its trend in December of just every other day it puts a new all-time high in. So we'll see if that continues. Taking a look at silver, I'd love to leave silver for last just to make everybody wait because I know it's the thing everyone wants to talk about, but I'm not going to do that. Silver up 13% just in the last week, currently sitting at $81.60, and it is basically touching the previous all-time high we put in last week. So we could see silver push to some new territory here shortly. Looking at the other white metals, platinum a little bit behind silver. It's up 10%. It's actually down a little bit today, so it was up higher yesterday, but currently up 10% since last week, sitting at $2,253. And sister metal, palladium, slowly starting to lag behind, but it also has had a pretty good week, up 9%, sitting at $1,788. So all the metals are doing pretty well, I would argue, here over the last week. And real quick at the paper markets before we dig into some longer charts here, the dollar index also up 0.5%, currently sitting at 98.7, and the S&P is up about 0.6%, so a little more than 0.5%. It's currently at 69.20, but it did touch an all-time high earlier today at 69.65 was the high for today. So all the markets are looking pretty good. I'm guessing that means everything is nice and healthy. No political problems, no economic issues, no geopolitical things going on, and that just may be the show for this week, guys. That might wrap it.
Yeah, it's so boring out there, Miles.
Should I just do our closer and I don't know, our producer will have to fill the next 20 minutes with something?
If people didn't catch the sarcasm, Miles, I think the rest of us did.
Yeah, there's about 15 different fundamentals that push and pull on the gold price and the silver price.
Yeah.
And it's like all 15 of them are hot right now. Some are bullish, some are bearish, but for the most part, this trend continues. Those numbers that you're telling me, I mean, this is going right back to 2025. It seemed like every week we're in something returning double digits that week.
Let me tell you something. This economy is getting ready to have a pretty big year. Energy prices are down over 20% since the beginning of last year. That's going to filter into everything it costs for us to put food on the table and gas in the car, light up our houses. I'm thinking that with a new Fed governor coming in, they're aggressively going to cut interest rates. That's going to put a lot of upswing into the stock market. Bonds are going to look good with interest rates falling, but we are looking at a very go-go year for 26.
Well, that's also bearish for the dollar. That's weak dollar policy. The weaker the dollar, the better the gold price,
yep.
Right? And you're describing two different things. The economy, if we can get inflation to slow, that's so good. It's what Hedgeye calls quad one, right? Where you have GDP expansion and you have a disinflationary environment.
Yep.
And guess what? That is silver, platinum, and palladium's favorite structure.
And that they are going to do extremely well. Platinum is the sleeper. It's been catching up. But the demand for platinum and silver with the plans to start a new smelter in Clarksville, Tennessee, for all kinds of strategic minerals. Hegseth over at Department of War has put in about a 20-25% stake, U.S. government stake, for these essential rare earths, plus everything else needed. So, yeah, this is going to be quite a year with deregulation on top of all that. And then, of course, geopolitically, we don't really need to get into that, but I can tell you, watch Cuba and watch Iran.
Yeah, the geopolitics is just one of those factors that drives a price, but some of this is continuing from last year. So before we get too far along, let's recap 2025.
Yeah.
Because people are wondering, like, they know that gold and silver and platinum and palladium did well. How well? Well, they had incredibly strong fourth quarters. But just in terms of the 2025 total gain, all four of them finished in the green, in the positive. Gold up 64.4% last year. Silver 148.1% from the start of the year to the end of the year. Platinum 124.2%. Palladium 75.9%. We would take those returns over the course of a five-year period of time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right?
That's not to be expected. The highs that we put in last year, gold hit an all-time high of $4,550. As Miles started the show, we're only $50 below that today.
$50.
Yeah. $83.93 on silver was the high that we saw, and that happened right at the open last Monday before the year closed, right before they... you know, the market opened to increased margin requirements, which we'll get into, and
yep.
And it dropped. It dropped like $12.
Right, and then it came right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the close. When I was comparing today's price to highest price ever, I was looking at the close. So yeah, we did have that intraday. That was at least a couple bucks, $2-3 higher.
Yeah, we barely saw it.
The momentum, I mean, we were just waiting. Crazy.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yep.
Platinum's high was $2,133, so we've exceeded that. Since then, platinum's better than it was in 2025. Palladium's high, 1,667, and Miles, as you alluded to today, we're at 1,788. So platinum and palladium are higher than their highest high in 2025. Gold and silver are not, but they're flirting with it. I mean, we're right there.
Mm-hmm.
So again, unbelievable years. But what I want to point out to everybody too is, as impressive of a year that was, this isn't a one-off event. If you look at the five-year returns on those metals, this proves that the precious metals are a cornerstone of your portfolio. They're not a hedge. They're not a 3% position. Don't let your wealth manager or your portfolio manager tell you, oh yeah, I like gold, it should be 2%. You gotta be kidding me. So here are the returns the last 5 years on gold. 80.4% over the last 5 years. Now we know gold is steady eddy and it averages over 10% a year. Why would you put 20% of your portfolio or 40% of your portfolio in bonds that average a third of that on a return? But gold over 5 years averaged 80%. Silver, 74.6 the previous 5 years. Not including 2025. I'm talking about 2020 through 2024.
Oh, really?
And platinum and palladium were the laggards, only up 17% and 4%. Now, those are cumulative five-year returns. But gold and silver...
Not even counting, but this is not counting last year's
not
numbers.
Not counting 2025. This is the 5 years prior to 2025. Now, why in the world would it not be a significant portion of your portfolio with everything that's set up looking like it's just going to continue from a fundamental standpoint?
Well, but when you look at it, there's maybe five different reasons why people buy gold. Price action is one of them, okay? Also, a legacy investment. I have clients that have bought from me for decades, and they're like, I'm not really ever going to sell it. I'm passing it on. Okay. Another reason is a hedge against the rest of their investments, be it real estate, equities, etc. You know, and then there's always the folks who say, hey, I want it in case the wheels come off and the zombie apocalypse is upon us. Okay. But price action is just one factor of why you would own it. And your financial advisor, since he thinks he looks at price action, completely ignores the price action of the metals. It's just like listening to MSNBC for your news, okay? If you want to get just one side of things, go there. But if you want something a little bit more balanced, you need to talk to people that look at the markets as a whole. But I can tell you the major reason why my clients buy, whether it's one of those five or so things, it's because they're losing faith in the system.
That's right. I talked to an outside broker. So we're a resource for multiple firms around country.
That people don't even know that.
Yeah. They use us as the resource for their clients' physical metals because it's something that their company doesn't do. As a portfolio manager or wealth management company, they don't sell physical tangible bars and coins. That's where we come in. So they use us for that. One of the financial advisors called me yesterday from a large national firm. He said, I got to tell you, Tori, gold and silver have made a fool out of me the last 2 years.
Wow.
And what I would say to that and did say is like, look, with all humility, you have to look at the long-term track record, right? Because gold has outperformed the S&P 500 the last year for sure, but 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, 50 years. And I think you're right. They ignore the price action aspect of it and they think it's all for the people waiting for the zombie apocalypse like Miles.
Yeah.
Wait, am I the zombie or the apocalypse? I kind of zoned out there for a second. Yeah. Which am I? Yeah. No, I agree with you, Tori. I also have a couple financial advisors that, I mean, we all do. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think we actually started as a company primarily working with outside brokers and outside financial advisors back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. When I came to work here 40 years ago, my father was really upset that I was going to go to work for a company selling gold coins and bars. And he called his stockbroker at another national firm. And he said, Larry, my son wants to go to work for somebody named McIlvaney selling precious metals. And Larry laughed at him. Bob, that's who we buy our metals from. He goes, are you serious? He goes, yeah, we don't have that expertise. That's a great outfit. And that was 40 years ago.
One of these days we'll get a website. You know, yeah. One of these days we'll catch up to the, no, just kidding. We have a website, McIlvaney.com, and it's a good one. And it'll answer all your questions. And you can replay this show and get the visual charts.
Yeah.
If you want. We really are up with the times. We're getting there. Rob, maybe not so much.
I need a 12-year-old to help me with my cell phone. But other than that, I'm good.
So amongst those financial advisors, bankers, politicians, I got a client who works at the Fed. I've got a couple clients that are IRS agents. You know, believe it or not, gold people are scattered all over the place in all sorts of industries, especially within the financial world. And Rob, I think you're hitting on a very important point. And I know we have a very short show here, and this wasn't part of the conversation plan, but let me throw something out if we can give it a minute or two for people to settle on it. People buy gold because of the other four reasons. They don't buy gold exclusively based on the price movement. In fact, when the general public gets involved with gold because of price movement, you can pretty much guess the bull market is probably in the last, you know, the last third. At that point.
So true.
Because the financial advisors, IRS agents, politicians, I've got a congressman who's a client. I mean, we've got across the board, there are people out there who are quietly preserving their purchasing power over time. They haven't been chasing price movement since the 80s, 90s, early 2000s that they started buying gold. They saw the writing on the wall, and they've just consistently and methodically added to their precious metals positions over time. Now, the beautiful thing about doing something like that is you can not so much be price conscious, but you can be conscious of the relative values between the S&P and gold, mm-hmm. or between gold and silver. You know, and you can start thinking in terms of purchasing power and relative strength of your various assets compared to each other, and stop trying to hyper fixate on how many US dollars they're worth. Because I can tell you right now, at $4,300 gold, it is the cheapest it's been in years. Gold is the cheapest today. Actually, it was the cheapest 2 days ago. The ratio's come up a bit.
Yep.
But gold to silver ratio, gold is the cheapest it's been in years.
Since 2013.
Right now.
Yeah, in 12 years.
Yep.
To be exact.
Yeah.
And you're right, if you sat in dollars, gold is up 64%.
Like very
it costs
expensive.
You 64% more than it did this time last year. If you sat in silver, gold's down over 40%. Think about that. The purchasing power of your silver buying gold right now, you're saving, depending on the timing of when you bought it. Like if you bought at the high of the ratio north of 100 in April or May of 2025, you could say your gold is down 50% with what silver has done since then. So those are remarkable purchasing power swings. It just depends on what you're sitting in. So if you're sitting in dollars and watching everything get more expensive, you might want to rethink your strategy. You need to own assets. And if you own assets instead of sitting in cash that's guaranteed to rob you, and you're sitting in assets, your purchasing power may be increasing in any number of things, such as oil. Look at how much oil you can buy for an ounce of gold.
You can buy a barrel of oil. You can almost buy 2 barrels of oil with an ounce of silver right now.
And for only the second time ever, you can buy 100 barrels of oil for an ounce of gold. I mean, think about that. By sitting in the metals, your purchasing power of something else has skyrocketed.
Man,
I have clients who, you know, husband and wife are split. And one of them is looking at the money they have in the bank and they feel good about that. You know, they'll have several hundred thousand split up between different bank accounts. And they like that because they know what they have. And they look at the uncertainty of the metals. And then they listen to people on financial TV saying gold is a risk asset. And they're like, no, I don't want to be risky. I want to know what I own. So I understand that, you know, and I try to help people think their way through it. But it's hard to get some people off of that mentality.
No, it really is. And that is a paradigm shift. These are times, like look at the last 5 years and 10 years. We know in 10 years, everything's more than doubled. The cost of living is more than doubled. And so if you sat in cash that whole time, you're really feeling it. If you didn't, you don't feel it nearly as much. You go to spend dollars and you see the reality, but it depends on what you're saving in, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, right. They don't want us to have as many alternatives. They want you stuck in the paper market. Well, central banks don't want to. So now suddenly, gold has become the largest reserve asset in the world. It has passed the U.S. dollar.
And listen, these big institutions, price is not an issue.
Nope.
Control of the asset itself, control of the supply chain from ground to vault, they are seeking control right now. Price is by far and away not their primary concern. They want the asset.
And I'll tell you, Luke Groman, who you can follow on X, which I advise, his quote to gold now being the largest Forex reserve, he said, "This happened much faster than I thought it would. And it begs one important question. If gold is now the biggest asset in Forex reserves, is the U.S. dollar still the primary reserve currency, or is it gold?" And it answers another. What currency will replace the U.S. dollar? None. Gold will. We've been talking about this on the show for years. Gold has already started replacing the dollar as the world reserve asset. It has been that through human history. But at the same time, we're seeing it now in modern economies play out.
You know, China is setting up their depositories throughout Northern Africa, other Asian countries, countries like Saudi Arabia, and they don't want it to just be a reserve asset. They want it to be a high quality liquid asset, collateralized like U.S. treasuries are for trade. So they're encouraging companies, hey, send us your gold. You don't have to sell it. It'll be in our depositories and you can use that as a high-quality liquid collateral asset to trade amongst the different BRICS countries. So China is already moving in that regard. And the United States, I think, is also moving in that regard. We'll see how this next year plays out, but I think you're going to see a real battle line drawn between the East and the West right now.
Well, let's not forget we saw that last spring. A lot of what caused the backup in London LBMA gold shipments mm-hmm. was gold leaving Europe to come to the United States.
Yep.
So you're correct. Even the people that don't want you to buy gold are buying gold. So what does that tell you?
That's right. The CIO of Morgan Stanley.
Yeah.
Morgan Stanley,
Goldman.
Thank you.
Yeah. The chief investment officer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Encouraging up to a 25% gold holding coming from a guy that makes his, you know, their company makes their money off management fees. So they're so adamant about it. And this gets back to what you were talking about a minute ago with financial advisors. I mean, we all know the reason they don't recommend gold. There's no management fees to be earned. You pay for it once. So when you've got the head of a major investment company telling his top end clients, take money out from under us and put it into physical metals, they mean it.
No, that's right. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. Craig Tyndale just wrote an essay called The Hard Bifurcation. So that's an interesting word. But what he says is, here's a quote from him, "The global economy is experiencing a structural breakdown in the conversion of financial claims into physical output. And he defines this failure as the hard bifurcation. It's the separation of the monetary economy that we're talking about from the physical economy, which is what Rob is talking about, right? You're defining a new physical economy. That's what's going on behind the scenes with silver, which is why the price, despite raising margin requirements, is going to continue to climb up, because there's a scramble for the physical silver behind the scenes.
And the supply chain that produces it.
That's the other part of what he talks about too, is he says, this country possesses the money to buy the sword. It has lost the fire to forge it.
Well, they're changing that because they're just putting an $8 billion investment in Clarksville, Tennessee to forge that sword. But it's going to take a couple of years to get that up online.
Yeah, and you need the supply, right? You're still scrambling to have the supply.
You got to be able to refine it.
And China knows that, and they have known that. Russia knows that, and they have known that. India knows that, and they have known that. They're way ahead of the U.S. in scrambling for physical.
Right.
And this isn't like the cornering of the market by the Hunt brothers, where they can attack a couple of guys that are trying to squeeze all the physical out of the market.
They were trying to set up the Central Bank of Texas so you could have paper with silver to redeem. Okay. That's what they were all about. Bunker was a friend of Don McElveny's. People have misrepresented what they tried to do, but you are correct. It's not just two guys against the world. It's the world against us.
That's exactly right. Miles, let's get into the margin requirements.
Yeah, I don't want to breeze past that.
Yeah.
And I think the market's reaction to that is the absolute example of what you just said, where it's the difference between the paper side and the physical side. Yeah. Because the margin requirement changes that happened on December 31st were no joke. Like, they're pretty significant.
They were.
And the fact that the silver market, like, tripped, caught itself, and then just kept running. it stumbled for a second and then just kept going. Yeah. I mean, that right there is the perfect example of, this is not a paper chasing profits market.
No.
This is a market built on real physical value and the underlying reasons why you want to own precious metals.
So explain the margin requirements.
It's a paradigm shift.
Because we may be speaking a foreign language. It's tough to kind of understand, but
sure.
Why would raising margin requirements cause a drop so substantially in the prices of the metals?
In one day.
Well, because it makes the down payment on the house higher.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, margin requirements in commodities, when you're buying into the futures market, it's, you know, when I bought my first house in 2011, something like that, you know, the margin requirement to buy a house was 20% down. But nowadays, the margin requirement is 20% down. It's just the average house is three times the price. Why the 28-year-olds can't buy a home today on three full-time jobs, but we can have that conversation a different time. So you go back 10 years prior to that, during the big real estate boom, like 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, and 2007, before the real estate crash, margin requirements on buying a house was like negative 10%.
zero.
You could walk into a bank and they're like, oh, a $400,000 house, here's a $6 million line of credit. Have fun. That's the ZERP and NERP and all that stuff that we, ninja loans and yada yada.
But the leverage now costs significantly
more. You've
got
to put more down.
Yep.
And that's the point.
Well, 30% more on silver.
Yeah.
With the margin requirements to buy a futures contract.
And 25%
more. You have to pony up 30% more money than you did the week before.
And even more, because they've now segregated the categories from high risk and low risk.
Yep.
So previously, high risk, low risk had the same margin requirements. So it's bumped from 25,000 to 32,500. For low risk, and it's bumped from 25,000 to 37,700, I think it was. 37,700 on a 5,000 ounce contract, which today is about 400 grand. So they've segregated out good guys from bad guys, and the CME gets to choose which, if you go on the good list or the naughty list. And they've bumped the margin requirements, like you said, 30 to 40%, depending on which list you ended up at.
The last time that the margin requirements were raised by the CME in the same week was in 2011. And guess what? It
market.
Was the top of the market.
Yeah, market cratered.
That's right, because they pushed out all the speculators, which is healthy for our market. We don't need over-speculation. We want it to be a legitimate movement into silver, which it is. Back then, it couldn't climb its way back. This week, it did. And so that is a major event that despite those two margin requirements in 1 week, we came right back where we were the week before, you guys. And that, to me, tells a big story and gives a lot of proof to the fact that silver's got legitimate legs to run right now, especially because it's a physical market and we are not in a crisis. We're not in a depression. We haven't seen the stock market collapse. We're not even facing hyperinflation. None of that. This is just a behind-the-scenes market.
So we want to thank everybody for joining us this week for Golden Rule Radio. This has been Tori, Rob, and Miles, and you can find us every week on our website at mcalvaney.com/radio, mcalvaney.com/radio, if you'd like to catch the charts that we put together for every show. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. Better yet, why not call one of us, any of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, to discuss your personal portfolio. You can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.